Welcome to the Decentered Podcast. I'm Sean Tilley, and I'm here with Damon Outlaw. And our guest today is Ryan Barrett from Snarfa.org. He is the creator of RegiFed, and he has some really interesting insights. Ryan is one of the few people that I can name off the top of my head that has worked with a number of different protocols within the Fediverse and outside of it, and has explored how to connect different spaces on the web together to make communication across those spaces possible. Thank you for joining us, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I love the show.
Yes. Well.
Yeah, thanks, Ryan, for coming in. I know it took a little bit to get you on board, and you've been a great sport about it. And we love your work and what you do and what you're about. And so this has been a treat to.
Yeah, thank you. I'm excited to be here. I'm looking forward to talking.
Yeah. So I think with that in mind, with you being here, could you talk a little bit about your background and where you come from? I think that's something that we like to kind of highlight with the developers we bring on.
Yeah. So I am very much a stereotypical Silicon Valley engineer. I've worked in big tech and startups for the last 20 years. Spent 10 years at Google in the very early days doing system stuff and infrastructure. The one thing your audience may have heard of that I did was I co-founded Google App Engine, which led to Google Cloud, among other things. And then I got a bit more mission-driven, and I spent the next 10 years or so doing a lot of bioinformatics and health tech at a company called Color. And then most recently, the last few years, doing climate tech, satellite imagery, forestry-based credits at a place called NCX. But more to the point, relevant to this, on the side, I have poked at social network stuff and, webs stuff for a while. I think when I first started using Facebook, circa early 2000s, I kind of very quickly got the sense that, oh, this is really cool, it's useful, but someone else owns this and runs it, which is fine. It's like any web app, any product, but like if I'm gonna post stuff here, my stuff, like I don't have the final say as to what goes up, who sees what, that kind of thing. And so I very quickly said, okay, well, I have a website that I feel like I have more control over. Whatever I post on Facebook, I'm going to post on my website first, and only then post a copy to Facebook. And I ended up doing the same thing with other social networks. Eventually, it got to the point where, originally blogs, you write a blog post, people come and comment, and there was a discussion in the comments. But then later, as Facebook, Twitter, et cetera, gained steam, you would write your post, you post a link to each of those networks, and people would reply within Facebook or Twitter, and those conversations would be fragmented, and you wouldn't have them on your own site if you had a copy there. And so I started out basically with this, building this little bridge called Bridgy that would just copy the comments, likes, reposts back to your site. So that was useful. We then came to the Fediverse, Mastodon, et cetera, and suddenly these were protocols, not just companies with products with APIs. And so I said, well, like I can do the same thing, but really what we want is if you have a blog, a website, we want it to be a first class citizen of the Fediverse and have its own account and, participate naturally. And so I ended up then building a different version of this called BridgyFed for Federated, which does this. And you see similar takes on this, like Matthias Pfefferle's plugin for WordPress and a bunch of others, Matt Reese's macro.blog, which are great. I love seeing that diversity of approaches. So anyway, very long-winded way of describing, like, how did I get here? Who am I?
So it sounds like, your initial experiments with Bridgy were very kind of indie web focused in the sense of how Posse is done, Post One, Share Everywhere, or Syndicate Everywhere. And it sounds like, you sort of took on a more federated approach as you discovered new networks. At what point did you decide that, I was going to make this thing talk multiple protocols and translate back and forth?
Yeah, the first version, what I call Bridgy Classic, that's still running, people happily use it, was very much that. It was just between IndieWeb and traditional centralized social networks. So I built and shipped the first pass at BridgyFed way back in 2017. It was pretty, it worked, but it was pretty limited. Came back to it. Yeah, I would maintained it, but didn't do a lot. Came back to it about a year and change ago when Elon bought Twitter and kind of shit hit the fan a bunch of ways. There was suddenly a ton of new interest. And I said, well, this is a moment. I saw many more users in Bridgy Fed. I figured, well, can I do more here? Can I help these people? And around, not long after I think I joined Blue Sky, early last year, and I started learning about Nostra, I said, well, there's a moment here kind of broadly for social networking. I mean, that space had felt very stagnant for a solid 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's fine. But then, kind of within a pretty short number of years, suddenly there are a ton of new ideas and people trying new things. And that was great. I love it. I see people say, oh, why didn't Blue Sky use ActivityPub? Or what are these Nostr people doing? Like, we already figured this out with ActivityPub. And I get it. But like, I love that people are trying new stuff. I think the time is ripe for trying a bunch of different approaches, and we can consolidate and kind of get everyone to interoperate.
Oh, sure.
Eventually, that's great. But yeah, I love seeing that. And so that just kind of, like, they're all different, but it's nice to try to get them to work together, even if, bridges are always
messy,
imperfect. It's never as good as native.
Yeah.
But like, you can get it to work. And some of it was just the engineer, like, is it possible? Let's try to get it to work. And some of it was just the utility, like, this is going to be useful to some people. Let's make that useful.
Yeah. So I guess, like, what was the first two networks you made talk to each other? Was it Blue Sky and ActivityPub or Nostr and ActivityPub? Like, where did you start with that?
Back in 2017, it was very much IndieWeb and ActivityPub. For listeners who aren't familiar, IndieWeb is just, you have a website, you post normal stuff on it. If you add a bit of markup to the HTML, this is in micro formats, and you do this thing called WebMention, which is basically just websites pinging each other when they link to each other, then you can do kind of replies, likes, reposts, events and RSVPs, a bunch of stuff between normal websites with very simple, very simple basic building blocks. Back in 2017, when I first shipped Bridgy Fed, it was very much those two. Much more recently, I've started looking at Blue Sky and Nostr, et cetera.
How does Bridgy Fed work exactly?
Yeah, good question. At the end of the day, it is just a middleman. It translates between these different networks and protocols. And it sits in the middle. And so if you are on ActivityPub, or if you're on the Fediverse and you want to follow someone on Blue Sky, Bridgy Fed says, hey, here's how to make a username for someone on Blue Sky that goes through Bridgy Fed. Uses us as a middleman. It's like at Bob at bluesky.bridge.gy. That kind
Got
of
it.
Thing. So
it kind of like hosts like a copy profile, so to speak, that translates metadata from one to the other.
Yeah. And so it'll take a Blue Sky user and makes them look like a Fediverse user to the Fediverse. And then in the other direction, it takes Fediverse users and makes them look like Blue Sky users to Blue Sky.
And then it translates the activity both ways.
Yeah, it translates objects and activities. So, users, posts, et cetera. And then all the activities like, okay, you create something, you update something, you delete it. And this translation is always going to be imperfect. Like, you're always going to have kind of what they call impedance mismatches, or basically like nothing, there's never perfect parity between two different networks, but you just try as best you can.
Yeah. So I guess, like, it's really interesting to see you put these things together. Like, what are your future motivations?
Yes. So future motivations. So my future motivations, ideally it's to add networks and to kind of keep that quality, the quality and functionality as high as possible. So as much as possible, if you can do one thing in one network and you can do the the corresponding thing in another network, BridgeFed, translates those with as high fidelity as I can. Mm-hmm. It's still a small service, a number of users, it's in the thousands, not in the millions. So if it takes off, and I expect there will be more interest when ActivityPub and Blue Sky are on there, especially because IndieWeb, it takes more work to get a website or a blog to do IndieWeb stuff. But once it supports more than one network, where you can just sign up, kind of like Fediverse already, Blue Sky eventually, I expect there will be more use, and just scaling to meet that load will take some work. But those are the kinds of things I think about high level.
Yeah. No, and go ahead. Go ahead, David.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you. Speaking of motivations, right? I know you mentioned you initially got into this, kind of around Facebook and realizing that using that service, you don't own the content or own how the message is delivered across that service. So, and obviously that's very personal, but also, what is the motivating factor in terms of continuing to build bridges, even in this day, right? You say you paused for a little bit, you continued, and now you're using it across, other protocols. So like what I know Sean kind of joked before we got on, he said, kind of gluing the internet web together, or something of that effect, but yeah, gluing the web together. And so yeah, we thought that was funny, but it kind of is what you're doing. And so I would just love to know the motivating factors that goes into this.
Yeah. I'd love to say it's very high-minded and idealistic and, principled. And I think there's some of that for all of us in these spaces, but really I'm much more of just an engineer. Like, this is possible and I want to use it for myself. And I hear from enough other people who use these that they're useful to them that, it feels worth, like, most of the work to get something like this working, I would have to do even if I just use it for myself.
Yeah.
And so then there's another, quarter to a third to a half of, making it broadly usable by everyone. But, it's still only some. It's, it's not like 90% of the work is for everyone else. And even if it was, like, these are fun. Like, it's possible in some ways, like some parts of it, like other people weren't doing. And so as an engineer, like, you build things, you see gaps, you see holes, and you say, well, that's possible. Let's go do it. It'd be useful. Motivation wise, I tend to be pretty practical. I wish I could say it was more principled.
You scratched an itch and you said, I'm going to take this as far as I can humanly take this. And look at you now, you've got like four-ish different protocols all working in mostly beautiful, imperfect harmony. So on your blog, you kind of highlighted a little bit of the differences between working on these different protocols. And I know in the past we've talked about it a little bit. You've described Noster as being easy but messy, ActivityPub being a little bit more complicated, Blue Sky being very opinionated. Could you kind of go into like your experience getting into the weeds with these different protocols?
Yeah, you did your homework well. So those are right. I mean, there's a range of, as a developer, how easy is it to implement each of these? So the four protocols we're talking about. So Fediverse, like ActivityPub plus WebFinger, Blue Sky, IndieWeb, Noster. So there is a big range of how easy are they to implement at all. And then there's a range of kind of how easy are they to translate. Mm-hmm. We have talked at other times about, these are kind of federated or in some senses peer-to-peer protocols, but in other ways, if you go back a decade ago and look at the excitement around BitTorrent and distributed hash tables and other truly peer-to-peer protocols like that, and more recent ones, your secure Scuttlebutt, et cetera. All of these modern decentralized social protocols are very server client. If you have a Mastodon app on your phone, like, it's not trying to talk directly to someone else, some other user's phone to reply to them.
Yeah.
and true, same with the others. which I think in some ways is good. The peer-to-peer, the truly peer-to-peer environment is just very, very difficult. Not traversal alone. I mean, stun and turn and ice, like that stuff.
That was a very off-putting experience for me when I tried to use SSB on my phone and I realized I needed to peer with somebody just to get my messages. I'm like, I'm not sure this is going to work, man.
No, yeah. You look at the work companies like Tailscale do to do not traversal D these days, and it is epically heroic lifting, and I love following the stuff they do. But yeah, it's still not that robust. So anyway, yeah, the protocols, there's a wide range. Yeah, you're right. Noster is kind of simple at its core, but really messy because the NIPs go out in all different directions. NIPs are these extensions, and the whole thing's extensions. And so there's a wide range of like which clients and users are, you know, supporting which extensions, but it's doable. IndieWeb is, once you get your own website set up, and that's actually now pretty easy. Micro.blog, I think, is the shining example of this. But it's relatively straightforward, but it's kind of a little more niche. I love IndieWeb. That's a community that kind of came out of building this stuff. IndieWeb is very web-based. You know, if you have a post on the web, like you fetch the HTML and you look for a few different micro format classes in there, and that's the data. Web mention is literally just a ping like, hey, my site on this page links to your site on this other page. Like, check it out. And it might be a reply or a like, for example. ActivityPub is definitely more complicated and less web native. You know, it's servers sending these JSON messages back and forth, and the messages are, you know, like action, you know, actor action objects.
Yep.
Like, I created this post, I deleted this post. I think one big part of why it is complicated is that the spec is kind of incomplete. Partly to do with the spec, partly to do with how people started using it. So authentication and authorization are the biggest holes in the spec, and people have figured it out, but it's still kind of, you know, not as easy as it should be. And then Webfinger, the at handles, at user, at server. Technically, we didn't need to do that, but people don't like URLs for their...
It's cultural.
To refer to themselves, and... Yeah, and so these at-ats are almost like email addresses, and so people said, oh, let's do that. But then you have Webfinger along with ActivityPub. So there's just like, there's some complicated stuff there.
Webfinger's also not in this spec. It like never has been, whether for OStatus or otherwise. It's just a thing that like people like doing it this way. Why would we change our way after 15 years? That doesn't make any sense. So by user convention, it's just kind of there.
Yeah, and then Blue Sky App Protocol has been fascinating.
You said in the past that it's like the most opinionated data structures, doesn't really like allow for much deviation.
Yeah. And most of them are pretty specific. I mean, I would say of the three, like only IndieWeb is really like deeply flexible on how you structure things. The others are pretty specific, and that's fine. Like, you got to be specific to have it have different servers like understand each other.
Yep.
But that protocol, like, it's this combination of a lot of it is very practical and uses existing building blocks like DNS in very useful ways, which I love. On the other hand, man, the actual protocol itself at the app protocol level, like Blue Sky, the social network, has this API, you talk to their server, and that's fine. But like at the protocol level, it is hugely complicated. Instead of specifying, like, so ActivityPub is like email, you're sending messages back and forth.
Yep.
IndieWeb is basically web focused. It's all about web pages and kind of interpreting them in various ways.
Right, you're just reading HTML.
App protocol says, yeah, like app protocol says, here are the data structures you're going to use on disk and in memory.
Yeah.
And those are non-trivial. Like, they've taken a lot from IPFS, which is great, but complicated in its own right. They use signed Merkle trees, which, you know, is like, it's a great data structure. But what you have to do is involve, there's both a Merkle tree and a repo kind of chain, a commit chain.
Yep.
There's a lot of Git inspiration. And again, that comes from your BitTorrent, your other protocols before, which...
I mean, like, one thing that definitely surprised me was coming from like an ActivityPub background. I come to AT Proto and I see things like Lexicon and data repositories and just like a wildly different architecture than I think like the standard like dude building a client for Twitter or Mastodon would really see coming. And even as someone that's dabbled with the ActivityPub protocol a little bit, it's so strange to see like how they do things like app.bluesky.feed.post. And they like specify like their activities and their objects in like totally different ways at a totally different layer.
Yeah. And there are these two levels of working with Blue Sky as a developer. The protocol side I talked about was complicated and low level, but yeah, if you just want to write a client, you don't have to do that. There's a very straightforward, simple, it's JSON based HTTP API to a server. And then, you know, there are a couple of different servers. Like there's a server, your own server where you're posting stuff. And then there are a couple these different tiers like app views that give you more global feeds and aggregate people's data from different servers. But still, there's just these JSON APIs. And they call bits of it Lexicon and XRPC, and it's fine. But it's just like it is these JSON APIs we are used to working with. But if you want to build your own server,
yeah.
Then you're doing this lower level app protocol thing, this repository kind of Git style, and there's just a lot. And it buys you some things that are useful. It is much more efficient to go get someone's data, to move your data, to sync if you've been offline for a while or if you haven't seen another server for a while. It's useful, but man, there's just a lot.
But you've managed to overcome that for the most part and have working functionality across all these different services at this point. And I kind of wanted to talk about some of your latest stuff that you've been doing. I think what kind of blew my mind the other day when Damon brought it up is that you now have a functionality to follow any website. Basically, you can just throw any old URL in there and it'll create an actor. Does that work cross-service? Like, what is that even?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And so this is just an expansion of how BridgeFed translated a kind of bridge between websites, you know, indie websites and the Fediverse before. Before it was doing this, but it was more indie web style. BridgeFed kind of used Microformats to figure out, okay, what are your posts? Like, who are you? What's your profile? Yeah. And then use these web mention pings to have your site say, hey, I have a new post. Please federate this post out. And so the new functionality is using Atom and RSS feeds, which are kind of more widespread, and then much more basic metadata about your website, like the title and maybe an image or something that more websites will have in their meta tags, as opposed to expecting the indie web microformats. Yeah, and no, thank you for the kind words. It's nice to see it out and people using it. Technically, it is pretty straightforward. There have been these RSS or Atom to feed Fediverse bridges for a long time, a bunch of them. And then RSS Parrot, you've seen, is one of the most recent that has I think what's new and improved there is the UX more than any of the underlying stuff. The underlying functionality is just like every now and, you know, periodically we go refetch a RSS feed and parse it and then say, oh, is there a new post? If so, let's federate it out. And that's about it. And
yeah,
there's a bunch of details.
I mean, it used to be that users, if they wanted to set that kind of thing up, they'd have to like run a bot in the background on either their computer or on a server somewhere. Yep. So I think we've come a long way in terms of just having infrastructure to support that. What are some of the headaches you've had along this journey? Like, what are like the hard, nasty, gnarly things you've had to deal with along the way?
Yeah, for BridgeFed specifically, interoperability between Fediverse servers is one of the biggest. In some parts of ActivityPub and in some parts of ActivityStreams, which is the data model or the schema, they are pretty, there's a pretty wide range of how you can do things and represent data. And you know, a lot of servers, you know, when people build a Fediverse server, they do the reasonable stuff, but what's reasonable to one person isn't always kind of the most obvious or reasonable thing to another person. And these are all like well-intentioned engineers trying to do the right thing, and it's fine. But when there's that much flexibility, like what you think is the obvious or natural way to do, you know, do one thing is not the obvious or natural way to for someone else. And so to get them to work together, despite kind of expecting, you know, things to be a little different, like that kind of interop is hard. And then especially due to a few parts where, again, authentication is not part of the spec yet. And so we do this thing called HTTP signatures, which is fine, but getting signatures to verify can be tricky. And that happens before anything else.
Yep.
And then separately, like one thing Fediverse's servers mostly do to scale, which is good, is most of the processing for an activity, you know, these messages they're passing back and forth, happens asynchronously.
Yep.
So the server takes the message, the activity in, says, great, got it, and then puts it on this queue in the background to handle, which is good. But the problem is most of the interop difficulties happen when in that background queue processing. Right. It says, oh, this is shaped not how I expected. That must be wrong.
Or the queue could just fail for whatever reason.
Yeah. And it could actually be that shaped fine, it's just not exactly how you expected. And so that debugging across like how some other remote server, you know, is, you know, run by people you don't know, like you sent your activity and it accepted it fine, but nothing happened. You're like, okay, well, what happened in your background processing? How can I find out? And often there's no way except to file issues or bugs and hope they notice. So yeah, that's, I think, probably the biggest challenge. And the Fediverse developer community is very aware of this and actively kind of talks through it.
It's kind of one of those things where we don't really realize it's important until well after the fact. And then we say, oh, why didn't we think of this like 15 years ago? Well, you know, there were 12 of us using it back then. So are there any like tools or methods or any kind of like, I don't know, any kind of utility that makes your job easier? Like, you're obviously working at a very different level, I think, than most developers within the Fediverse, save people building their own multi-protocol stacks. Like, how do you debug things even?
Yeah. You know, I wish I had a better answer. At sometimes I definitely run local Mastodon or Pleroma or Friendica or Miskey servers. When I was first putting this together, and then whenever I'm doing any big new thing, often I'll just run someone else's server locally and turn on all of its logging and, you know, point my local Bridgie Fed to it and see what it does. Mm. You know, there are places where everyone talks and those are really useful. Social Hub is a big one. Yeah. There are some matrix rooms, obviously, too. And then most places, you know, if you go file a bug, you know, generally someone will reply and say, oh, you know, like, you know, what I think, here's what's going on. Everyone's busy. There are tons of bug reports, you know, can't prioritize all of them, but at least usually you hear from people and it's like everyone's pulling the same direction.
Yeah.
So it's been good.
No, that's honestly really great. I guess if such a tool were to exist, like what would your requirements be? Like what would you like to see that would help you deal with some of this so you don't have to run six different servers?
So there are a handful of people who have been working on test suites, either ActivityPub specific test suites or Fediverse broader, you know, including Webfinger, HTTP signatures, et cetera. There are a number of these different efforts. Those are great. A few people have testers already up. You know, Helga has one, which is great. Johannes Ernst is putting together a broader coalition and starting to build one with NLNet funding. So I think that kind of thing would be good. There's also a move in the kind of the standards community group, the W3C group that gets together and talks about the standard, to I think there is a clear sense that one of the big next things they should do in medium term is to make what's called a profile. Mm-hmm. So if the standard is too flexible and people do things different ways and they don't interoperate, you can say, okay, we're going to revise the standard and make it much narrower. That's one way. The other thing people do, yeah, is this profile where you say, okay, the standard's still the standard and it's flexible, but in practice for this part, microblogging or whatever, people do that, do it this way.
Right.
Use these shapes. And this is a microblogging profile. Right. This is the, you know, Fediverse 2024 profile.
Right.
So I think that could help.
This is ActivityPub TikTok edition.
Yeah, in a sense. Right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Maybe not literally, but, you know, I think if you put the abstracts a certain way, make it shaped a certain way, probably easier to standardize on rather than everyone kind of copying each other in a circle.
You know, getting things working and just copying what Mastodon does, like, has gotten us a long way. But we want something more robust and stable than that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, oh, go ahead, Damon.
So I had a question in the sense of, well, a couple of questions, but I would like to know what, in this new, I guess, era that we're heading into, right? Which I know we like to kind of blame, you know, Musk buying Twitter as the catalyst for a lot of this, but, you know, I think this stuff is still in the weeds anyway, but I just would like to know your take on it, just from a social and cultural standpoint, like the direction that we're going in, and what you would like to see personally.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's a lot. And I think the first thing I think about is that I know much less about the social human sides, like products, kind of societal good. Like, I obviously have opinions, everyone has opinions. I would like to contribute and, you know, do good there, but man, like, I'm far from an expert on that stuff. How should social networks work? Like, what's, you know, we've seen some good, we've seen some harms. How can we make them better? Like, man, I'm far from an expert. But yeah, no, it's, I think there was a moment of experimentation right now. Elon buying Twitter was one big part. You know, arguably probably blockchain and Web3 was another big motivation, at least in terms of people trying big, new, different things.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And blockchain, like cryptocurrency, it's all complicated, especially Fediverse wise, you know,
there's like
culturally
one
the Fediverse and Web3.
There's like only one project, and that's Mitra. And, you know, the guy's doing his thing, but it's like not necessarily a great culture fit at the moment, just because this guy's trying to do both and neither side seems to like the other too much.
Yeah. Those cultures obviously differ. But just in terms of trying stuff, like, we had a full first or second generation of social networks, centralized ones, and learned a lot, which is great. We got a bunch of new stuff to try in this really broad range, all the way from, you know, hardcore Web3 to Nostr, which is not Web3, but full of Bitcoiners, to, you know, Fediverse. Like, I love seeing everyone try all this different stuff.
Yeah, it's promising.
Yeah. And so then the big, I think, next topic is moderation, or, you know, consent-based federation. A number of these, so they, like, how should different individual people and communities and groups kind of connect to each other and choose to use these and say, yes, I want to, like, see these other instances posts, or no, like, they're, like, don't want to see them, like, let's block them.
Yeah.
There's a lot there, and again, I'm far from an expert, but building bridges, like, I got to make some of these decisions for how the bridges work. And so obviously you all saw, like, I've been writing about that recently and trying to read a lot and learn a lot, so that's been interesting.
Yeah, so you recently actually made a blog post about moderation and kind of put out some opinions on it. Would you feel comfortable with kind of rehashing/reiterating some of your thoughts on the subject?
Yeah, totally. And, you know, a number of people have been debating this stuff recently, beyond just me. There is the kind of quote unquote big Fetty versus small Fetty debate, like, should we let everyone in and, you know, that's kind of a human right versus, no, we have to be very careful. We want to prevent harms and not let people automatically harass people in other instances. It, you know, there's a lot. I think there are some things that feel very obvious. So context collapse, I think, is a good description of this. So if you are in the Fediverse and you see a Fediverse post and you reply, it turns out that post came from a WordPress blog and your reply shows up as a comment on that blog. I think to a lot of people, that feels surprising and weird.
Yeah.
And that's true and right and valid. You know, that feels surprising. But when the further you go into look at it and say, okay, well, what's the, like, how do we draw those lines? So I think PeerTube and Lemmy are good examples of, like, you know, native Fediverse in a sense,
yeah,
but very different.
Yeah.
Like, they're much more kind of Reddit or groups or like YouTube style. And so I think there are different cultures between those have different kind of spaces, and those are all native Fediverse, and we don't really question, okay, those federate with each other, but on each side it feels very different. Is it the same kind of surprise or not?
Yeah.
And on the flip side, if you go back to the WordPress blog, like, that blog running the ActivityPub plugin is doing native ActivityPub. It's a just first class participant of the Fediverse like any other server. Is it that it looks like a website more than the Fediverse? You know, like, they're all public.
Yeah.
Anyone who's not logged in anywhere can go look at them on the web. And so I've been trying hard to understand these kind of intuitions that people have and understand, like, how they match the lines we got to draw when we say, okay, if you're bridging ActivityPub and Blue Sky, they're different, but why and how? And if, you know, it's not the underlying protocols, so then what? Like,
yeah, yeah.
How should they behave? You know, and so it's tough.
Well, yeah, and I think, like, it's kind of, it comes with the territory of being a sort of it comes with the territory of being a sort of user run bespoke network that's kind of just sort of grassroots and scrappy and built from the ground up. Like, you're gonna have situations where, unfortunately, it wasn't one grand vision that explains everything in a holistic, coherent, cohesive way. It's more like a bunch of people had some good ideas. Some of them are compatible. Some of them are not. People are going to try to force them to be compatible anyway. Like, I guarantee you right now, there's some dude out there that's like, how do I make my Lemmy instance watch PeerTube videos? And he might make it work. He might make it work. But, like, it's not intuitive to some people. And when you describe that experience of, like, yeah, I responded to this post I saw, and then it showed up as a blog comment, like, there's no real precedent for a lot of people as to, I've seen that before. At least with, like, Twitter, we have, like, 15 years of experience to point back on and say, you know what? Twitter works a certain way. We know that when things happen on it, there are not really any surprises in terms of the software or the experience. But like you're saying, like, it's all over the place sometimes with the Fediverse, and there is no standard UX. If anything, it's kind of anti-standard.
Yeah, I think all this stuff is really difficult, and we as a society are all figuring out kind of, this is, you know, greenfield, new territory for how we interact with each other online, how we put together these communities, like, what are the right and good and kind of beneficial ways to do it. And we have a lot of experience over the last few decades. You know, we saw a number of ways to do it.
It's interesting how we started out with ActivityPub kind of taking the shape of Mastodon, which was using OStatus before. So it had some conventions. We followed it. It's like, oh, microblogging and social. And, you know, that's all pretty easy. But now it's like the topology has, like, been stretched out into so many different shapes that you're like, well... Yep. You know, we can make Reddit with it. We can make YouTube with it. We can, you know, even DanceUp is, like, making, like, some kind of messenger thingy with it. And it's like, you know, yes, it's ActivityPub, but, like, do I really want to use my private messenger to connect to to connect to a Lemmy instance and watch a video on PeerTube through that? Like, to what degree does, like, all convention break down?
Yeah, I think there are a number of directions there. It's funny you mentioned OSTA. That's something I remember implementing it a couple of different times, including the very first version of BridgeFed supported it.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that history is great. But, yeah, that decision, like those kinds of decisions, I've been talking with, you know, once since I wrote that moderation post up, I've been talking with John Pincus, who's from Privacy Today on Matrix. Yep. It's been a really productive conversation, you know, among talking with other people. And what I love is that he and I think individually are pretty far apart. Like, I am a pretty big Fetty person, quote unquote. And he's much of more of a small Fetty person. And those names don't capture the right spirit, but he has a great idea, which he calls consent-based federation, where instead of the open federation now, basically opt out, where instances by default can federate with any other instance, and then you block instances you don't like. He's saying, well, it's more, how about more, we start with just a few that you know, and then you can manually add ones that you trust. So the experience for users is not like they get harassed or mistreated and then you have to block instances. The experience is like they only see trusted stuff and you gradually expand that circle of trust. And what I love about that is like the one conclusion I've kind of come to so far is moderating based on kind of the underlying protocol or the background of the software or anything else. Like WordPress has been around for way longer than the Fediverse and feels like its own thing. So I get context class, but like code and protocols like aren't all technology kind of influences human behavior. Yes. But like when we care about moderation and say, okay, I want to interact with these people, not those other people, it's because of the people themselves, not because their server is running WordPress or their server's talking at protocol or activity pub. It's because the people fit with your values or the people are harassing you and they don't fit with your values. And that's largely independent of protocol. Right. And so this idea of consent-based federation, you know, focuses on who are the people, who are the communities. Let's judge those, whether we want to interact and federate with them. And that feels right to me. And notably, like it's true regardless of, again, whether you're on Blue Sky or Fediverse or whatever. And in some places there are clear communities, like the Fediverse has instances and those are very cohesive. Other places like Noster or IndieWeb, where everyone has their own website, they're much more individual users. But regardless, you know, you start building up an ecosystem of shared tools and organizations and shared kind of information about, oh, this instance does these kinds of things and has these values. These users have these kinds of values. Let's focus on those regardless of kind of the plumbing underneath. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think I've seen, you know, some projects starting to dip their toes in the water, so to speak, with that. I think Okoma is a really clear example where they define bubbles, and you sort of, a bubble's a way to say like, okay, I'm on, you know, anime.social and I want to connect to manga.social, but I don't want to connect to Western realism experimental film.social. So like they set up a bubble, and because they're mutuals, they, you know, they allow list each other. And because of that, they can see everything from both places as if they were one cohesive community. Whereas, like, you know, by default, most people fall more into a gray list, kind of like a wait and see. And then you sort of use, like, reputation based on positive or negative interactions to say, you know, do you fall into the allow list or the deny list? Mm-hmm. And I think, like, that's actually a really good model to go from. Because, you know, 15 years after the fact, like, network maximalism, connect everything, connect everyone, is not the way to do it. Like, we thought it was a great idea when Diaspora was a thing, because Federation just kind of sucked and you didn't know if your message was going to get across anyway. Yep. But I think nowadays, like, a framework where people, like, more explicitly state who they're connecting with and what communities are friends with other communities probably solves a lot of those problems.
Yeah. that may be one of the biggest lessons we learned from, is it social networking 2.0 or the big centralized era, was that in a few narrow ways, a global town square can be useful, especially like you're holding powerful people accountable, et cetera. But in a lot of ways for quote unquote normal people interacting with friends and communities, like you probably don't want that single global network. You probably want smaller ones that more carefully, you know, interact outside themselves. And yeah, especially notably, like regardless of the network you're on. And this, I mean, this is slowly where I'm coming to in the bridging sense. Like, I want to make sure I can enable that as much as possible so that all of that tooling in the Fediverse translates into Blue Sky. Blue Sky has labelers and kind of more structured services for this. And I want that stuff to all work regardless of which side of a bridge you're on. But yeah.
Yeah, just wait until like your little bot comes across someone with the hashtag no bot in their profile.
Yeah.
I do not consent to having this label.
Yeah. No, it has already happened. And we have had a handful of us. It's interesting. I got a bug report saying, hey, you know, I can't follow or interact with this person on the other side of the bridge. And we went in, we had to debug it. It took a while. We finally realized, oh, they have no bot in their profile. And so Bridgy Fed originally interpreted that as, okay, don't bridge them at all. And both people on both sides were saying, no, I want this to work. This should work. This bridge isn't a bot. It's a bridge.
Okay. Hashtag some bot.
Yeah. And so the conclusion so far has been no bot doesn't apply. We're going to use no bridge instead.
Okay.
And
who uses that?
I mean, no one yet, or I mean, not many people yet. And so, I think that's a very open question. Does no bot mean I don't want to be bridged, or I don't want to be able to use a bridge or not? And I'm open to open debate there. I don't know, but
I think you have your next blog post.
Man, totally. I mean, right now the Bridgy Fed docs are really loud and say, hey, use no bridge or ping me privately or anything else. And that'll opt out. So I don't know. We'll see.
So like, it's a very interesting ecosystem we're kind of sitting in as we're talking. Like, it's kind of apparent that a lot of things are changing really fast. How do you think that Bridgy Fed is going to operate with Meta coming into the Fediverse? Like, Meta is so big when it comes to how many users are on Threads alone. Like, you know, I think the estimate was something like 100 million. And I'm not saying, like, everybody's going to go over to Bridgy Fed and be like, oh, boy, I can't wait to connect this to every other part of the web. But, like, you're going to see, like, a higher load of people using it that are enthusiasts, at the very least, in one way or another. Like, do you have, like, some thoughts about that?
You know, I mean, if the question is scaling, like, that's going to be a great problem to have. Like, you're for the vast majority of open source projects and startups and anything, like, your problem is not, well, I have too many users.
Oh, darn.
That can be a real problem, a mechanical, like, technical problem you got to solve. But I mean, I have spent 20 years in industry. I have worked on a number of big things. I am not worried about, you know, building a big thing and scaling. If that's the worst problem I hit, like, I'm going to love it. It's going to be fun. I get to kind of put the blinders on and, you know, do the technical stuff. Like the human stuff, the product of, like, what's the right way for this stuff to work? Like, that is harder. And I'm thinking a lot about that and talking to a lot of people. But if it's just scaling, like, I'm not so worried.
Yeah, no, I think it becomes much more obscure when it comes to convention and consent and expectations.
So going, you know, with all of this happening, right, like with AT Proto and Noster and Meta and potentially Tumblr joining, you know, the Fediverse, but what, from a personal standpoint, like, would you like to see happen, right? I know you said personally you are a big Fetty proponent. And I would say I fall under that same umbrella as well. But in terms of like potential tooling and experiences, what would you like to see? Because I know personally, like we could probably have a 20-hour podcast episode just about like what I would like to personally see. And as y'all know, like I'm not a big proponent of instances. Right? I feel like they get in the way.
I think Noster does it way better in terms of just getting away from that and having a relay system. And like instances in some cases are a total choke point, I think, for the Fediverse, just in terms of how rigid they are and how tethered users are to them.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is one of the biggest challenges for the Fediverse right now is that there are two huge things that are tied to your instance, your identity, your literal Ryan at server, and your functionality. And that one I think is less appreciated. So identity wise, yes, you can migrate between servers, but your identity, your handle changes.
Yep.
And you know, you go back many, many generations, like the phone system, you know, like plain old telephone, like they even figured out phone number portability. The Fediverse does not have identity portability. And so when I talk to people deep in the protocol, Evan Perdomo and Leonardo and other people, you know, we think about, okay, well, how would we do this? Could we start doing something more tied to domain names? I think there's a lot of potential there to figure out. But then, man, functionality is the other big one. You know, much of the Fediverse is microblogging, but then you also have kind of groups and link blogging with Lemmy and Kbin. You have videos with PeerTube. There's long form writing with WriteAs. There are events now, which is great, but your choice of instance also limits what you can do. You know, Mastodon does not do events.
No, they don't even render articles correctly.
Yeah. And so, I mean, they do decent fallback, but it is, like it's tough that the server you pick, especially like when you first join the Fediverse, you don't know much about it.
Yeah, you just kind of fall into it.
Yeah, and then that determines your handle, your identity, but then also like what you can do. There's this whole range of stuff to do, but your server only implements a subset of functionality.
I know that in the earlier days of Blue Sky, they kind of listed this as one of the reasons that they didn't go with ActivityPub is the lack of a decentralized identifier. I'm always left wondering, like, is it as simple as us just shoving a DID field into people's actors, or is there more that we have to figure out there?
Technically, it's a huge change. As users, so your Fediverse handle is literally at user at server. Like the server is literally part of the identity.
Yep.
And then underneath, your ActivityPub actor ID is a URL, not an @. But it also, like, it's an HTTP URL. It's got the server, the host name literally in the URL. And so those are very fundamental parts of the Fediverse. And so it is possible to iterate it to kind of move to something where it's easier to like preserve your identity. There are proposals, there are FEPs for this, but it would take a lot of work. Blue Sky is a great example. Noster is another.
But they use a signing key.
Yeah. And so you end up with a few problems like Zuko's triangle where like identity is, we want identities that are decentralized and safe and human chosen. And this isn't Zuko's triangle, but it's very similar. These are trade-offs. Like you can't easily get all of them. So Noster, for example, totally decentralizes keys. Like you can use any client, any relays. But if you lose the password to your private key, you're screwed. It's just like cryptocurrency or something. And so Blue Sky saw this and they're very practical and they have tried to strike this balance where their default DIDs, their IDs are these, they're kind of separate from your server, which is great, but they have this one centralized directory for IDs and they very carefully limited it to as small a surface area as possible, like just your ID and where your current server is. And so it makes it easy to switch servers and you keep your identifier and that's great, but it is centralized because they said this like, forgetting your password means you lose your entire account. That's just unacceptable, and rightly so.
Yeah. Damon, we kind of interrupted you there, and I apologize for that. Was there anything else in your mind about that subject?
No, you guys touched on it pretty well. I was just curious because we've talked about so many different protocols, but we hadn't touched on Solid, and so I was just wondering, some of Ryan's thoughts in regards to Solid protocol. And if you've had the opportunity to look over activity pods.
Yeah, I know less there. I have not spent a lot of time. You know, I'm familiar with RDF, JSON-LD, and Solid. Like, I've read a lot, I've poked at them. I haven't built with them nearly as much. I think there are a lot of good intentions there. The developer experience for RDF and JSON-LD is like notoriously difficult. I also I feel like one thing we learned from the, Web 2.0, the human product side, was that it was all about user-generated content, and that's great. But when you think about, do you go create content? Do you go tag places? Do you go do anything like that? There's a small fraction of people who go actively create stuff, and then a huge number of people who just consume it, who aren't like adding metadata or anything else. And Solid is this very optimistic view that everyone carefully structures their data just right and tags everything just so, both users and developers. And I would love if the web was semantic. It's a beautiful vision. In practice, we see that it's much more messy and kind of low fidelity and not nearly as clean and structured as that. Again, I haven't spent as much time directly developing with Solid as these other protocols. So I should go learn more.
Totally fair. So, I know that not too long ago you added new functionality to BridgeFed that allows you to throw any old website in there. And to me, that was like pretty crazy to see that, like, you basically are kind of like scraping a website, looking for differences within a div, and then like throwing the changes into an activity update. Like, where did you get this idea? Like, that is like such a nuts approach compared to like a regular RSS bot, you know?
Oh yeah, and I'm not doing that kind of scraping.
Oh okay, no. Yeah. I just kind of assumed.
Yeah. No worries. Yeah, it's just RSS, Adam. There are other services out there that do that, and that can be useful. And I would use one of those services if I tried. I think most websites that people want to see in the Fediverse are going, at least when they're going to see a post show up as something like a Fediverse post, like you will have a feed for it. Not always, but much of the time. The idea there really came from more of just kind of taking each of the networks BridgeFed is going to support, Web, Fediverse, Blue Sky, maybe Nostr or some others, and saying, okay, how do we do this as completely as possible? You know, IndieWeb is a small slice of websites. It's awesome. I love it. But, if I wanted to make each of those kind of the support more comprehensive and say like as much as possible, we can take posts on the web and have them show up in the other networks as posts. And, the bigger audience there is traditional websites and blogs without an RSS feeds. So trying to make it for each network be as comprehensive and functional as possible.
Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today. It really means a lot that we can sit down and pick your brain. I know I kind of felt like 20 questions a little bit, but it's just such an interesting and I think very fresh perspective to see somebody that gets in the weeds with all this stuff on a day-to-day basis. Thank you for joining us. And for anybody out there that's listening, this is the Descended Podcast. Please check us out on Mastodon, Twitter, LinkedIn, Blue Sky, Nostr, or you can just subscribe to our website because it's also an Activity Pub bot. Please feel free to reach out to us, and you can support us at opencollective.com/wedistribute or patreon.com/wedistribute. Thank you again.